Greetings, this is Brother Steve again with the Daily Inspiration. So we have been going through Romans and then Galatians, just looking at the whole concept of the living, the flesh versus the spirit, and the difference in how that plays out in our life. So we've come to about the middle of Galatians chapter 2. It looks like we're going through this rather slowly, so we might have to hurry up just a little bit here. So we ended up with, you know, Paul's defense of his own ministry and his and the gospel that he preached, and so then in the second part of chapter 2, he says, verse 11, but when Peter was come to Antioch, here he's talking about how the importance of this. Peter was coming to Antioch, I withstood him to the faith because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. I build again that which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Then verse 20, very important verse. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And we might be asking at this point, so here he's talking about the law. He's not talking about the flesh here, so what does this have to do with this? How does this work, or why is this, how is this connected? And the way it's connected is that the law is for the flesh. So the flesh is corrupt. This old man is sinful by nature, and it's corrupt. And so the law is designed to keep him in check, keep that old man in check, and keep him from just running loose. And so if we are living in the flesh, then we are automatically, we are under the law. But if we live through the Spirit, we are free from the law, and we are free from the flesh. So that's why verse 20 is so important here. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's now not me anymore, but it's Christ who lives in me. And he, through this mortal body, he lives out his life in me. I am crucified with Christ. The flesh has died. Crucifixion is death. And so if I am crucified with Christ, then this old man has died. And he no longer has any say or any power or any jurisdiction here. He is put away. He is, like it says in Romans 7, a woman that is married, she is bound by the law to her husband as long as she lives, as long as he lives. But if he's dead, then she is free to be married to another, and she is not an adulteress. So same here. When as long as that old man is alive, I am bound by the law. But when he dies, I am set free. I am no longer bound by that flesh. I am no longer bound by the law. I am now set free in Christ. Christ, who lives through me, I am crucified with him. I have died with him. I was buried with him. And now I was resurrected with him as well. And that's all by faith. By the faith, I now, the life, let me see. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is all in believing in Jesus, believing. It's all by faith. We enter into this by believing. And that's the difficult part here is for us to just rest in that, just believe in that, put away the fighting and the wrestling, just like it says in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The law is a burden. It weighs on us. It puts pressure on us. Jesus says, I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And I will give you rest for your souls. So chapter 3 of Galatians starts out with, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Now, Galatians is basically the whole book of Galatians has to do with this life of being under the law versus living in the spirit, living in the flesh versus living in the spirit. And it's interesting here that Paul, of all the letters that he wrote, he has some of the harshest things to say to the Gentiles. Even chapter 1, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel, which is not another. And then he says, verse 8, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And then he repeats this same thing again. And he just, over and over, he hammers on the Galatians because, you know, have you, let's just go continue reading there in chapter 3. This only what I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? If it be yet in vain. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. There he brings in that whole thought about Abraham believing God and counting to righteousness, it being counted to him for righteousness. Abraham, you know, it was so simple. God gave him a promise. Abraham believed it. God said, you're righteous. And the same thing is true for us today. We have the same promise. Not necessarily exactly the same promise that God gave to Abraham, but it was a matter of, do we believe God? So what Paul is saying here is, okay, you guys, you know, you had this wonderful experience, you know, of this liberty that God gave you through the Spirit here by faith when you believed the message that I brought to you. You had this wonderful revelation and this experience of being set free by this gospel that I preached. And now, after all of that, are you trying to perfect yourself by the law? Are you so foolish? I mean, if the law could never save you, you were set free from the law, and yet now you're going back to the law. You think that the law can make you perfect. And this is an example. This is something that is actually quite common among Christians. You know, there's faith rises up, and there's They're born again, they're renewed by the Spirit of God in their inner man. And then, you know, the battle comes and they are faced with needs and whatever in their life. And rather than going back to the same thing that set them free in the first place, this faith, this trusting in Christ, they go back to fleshly means and they try to, by their own strength, okay, I got to deal with this and whatever. But let's just come back to Jesus again and to that same Jesus that set us free in the first place can also now, it says one place, even quicken this mortal body, make it alive, give us life, strengthen us. And so anyway, let's continue reading here. Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit? Are you now made perfect in the flesh, by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it yet be in vain, he therefore that ministers, okay, I did read that. Let's go into verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, for as many as are of the law, works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live by them. So if you want to put yourself under the law, then you know you have to do the whole law. And just like it says, it might be in Romans. I don't have the exact reference here. But if you break the law, you broke the whole law. Even the smallest commandment, it doesn't really matter. You still broke the law. It's a little bit like a piece of tempered glass. You punch it a little bit and crack it a little bit in one corner, the whole thing just shatters. And that's a little bit how it is. If you think you're going to live by the law, then you have to keep every little bit of it. So, verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ took that law upon him, he kept it perfectly, and then he hung on the cross, and he redeemed us through that, from that curse of the law. He was made a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. This is a very important verse here. It's especially to those of us coming from a background where there was a lot of, you know, man-made rules and ideas added to the gospel. It says, Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth it or addeth thereto. So there's a covenant here. And God made this covenant with us. We enter into it. And we don't have the right to change anything. We cannot add to it or take away from it. Just like, let's say, for instance, a business contract. Two people come together. They draw up a contract. I need something. You can produce it in your business or whatever. So we draw up a contract. This is what I expect. This is what I need. And you're going to do it for this and this price and whatever. And we both sign at the bottom of the page and agree to this contract that for this amount of money, you're going to do this and this and this. And this is what the end product is going to look like. Now, if I go home and I look at that contract and decide, you know what, I don't like this part. I would like to have it rather than for this price, I would like to have it for this price. And then I just go in and I change the contract. And is that valid? Is there any merit to that? Can I do that? And the obvious answer is no, I cannot do that. That is not in my right to do. And that's exactly what Paul is appealing to right here, where he says, I speak after the manner of men. I speak like you guys, just like earthly here, you know. There's a covenant between two men. And once the covenant is confirmed, once you've both signed on the dotted line at the bottom of the page, you can't just go back and arbitrarily just change things. This is set. This covenant has been confirmed by both sides of the party, and I can't just change it. And the same thing is true with this covenant with God. I have no right to add anything to this covenant and bring this bond, bring the people under this bondage again. That's not in my right. I can't do that. That's just like me taking a covenant or a contract and wanting to just change it without the other party agreeing to it. So anyway, that's the important part there. Well, I think I'm going to end there, and then we'll pick it up next time again. Thank you, and God bless you.